Every single one of us here who is able to make a rational decision, every one of us that has fallen into sin, we know what it's like to be tempted to sin and to fall, to experience the interior battle within us of knowing what's right, knowing God's law, and of either choosing to do it because we don't care or because we are weak. And we want to follow God's law, but out of the weakness and the temptation that we struggle with, we lose the battle and we fall into sin. That's what it's like to fall into a temptation. And it happens because we're not properly prepared to experience it. If we were prepared to experience every temptation, we would not fall into it. And so Lent is a time to prepare ourselves, to refocus our lives, and to think about how we should better prepare ourselves to face the temptations that we struggle with. Imagine if we didn't do any preparation. Imagine, for example, an athlete who has a game once a week, maybe, and who decides that he just wants to play the game and that he doesn't want to practice or prepare. And so he doesn't practice, he doesn't go through any endurance during the week, and he does not challenge himself during the week. What do you expect will happen? He's not going to be ready to face the challenge of the game. An athlete who goes through heavy endurance during the practice and who challenges themselves will be able to perform at a much higher level in a game. In the same way for us, if we prepare ourselves and if we challenge ourselves, that's what the point of Lent is. If we challenge ourselves properly and go through some endurance, then we will be ready, by the grace of God, to face the temptations that we struggle with. Jesus doesn't only talk to us about this process of preparation and about how to overcome the temptations of the devil. Jesus doesn't only teach by his word, but Jesus teaches by his actions. Instead of only teaching us by his word, he came down to earth, he became one of us, and he, even although he is without sin, he put himself in our place, and he endured every single temptation that we would struggle with. And he overcame it, and he showed us how to overcome it. And in this story where he's tempted by the devil, and it goes through the detail of three different temptations, we see in each of these temptations a summary of every single human temptation that we could go through. And we see Jesus overcoming every single human temptation and showing us how. The first temptation that Jesus goes through here is when the devil comes to him and says, if you are the Son of God, turn these stones into bread. Now, he was starving because he had not eaten for 40 days and 40 nights. But this would have meant that Jesus was abusing his power as God to make stones into bread when he could have just went home and ate Mother Mary's awesome food. And so the devil was trying to tempt him to change the stones into bread. And in the response that Jesus made, we learn how this specific temptation could apply to our lives. When he says, it is written, man does not live by bread alone. This temptation of Christ and his response to it is about us abusing pleasure. Man does not live by bread alone. What's the point of food? It doesn't only have one purpose. The point of food is not just to taste good. That's not the ultimate point of food. But the real point of it is to nourish us and to strengthen us. And if we see food or the desires of this world as only to make us feel good, then we are abusing it. And it's obviously not just about food. Food is one thing that could lead into sins like gluttony, but there are many other sins that this could apply to, all the sins of the flesh. And specifically, St. Paul speaks about in the epistle that we read, He says, put off your old nature of the lust of the flesh, and he says that specifically, and put on the new nature of Jesus Christ. This is mainly about the sins of lust. And one example of how this could apply, of only using something just for the pleasure and not for what it's meant to be used for, is that a lot of couples misuse the conjugal act. Now, conjugal relations, the marital act between the man and the woman, husband and wife, in the way that God intends it, is not meant only for pleasure. It is meant for pleasure and to unite the man and the woman, but it's also meant, its ultimate goal is procreation. It's what God intended. And so that's why the Bible teaches and the church affirms that use of birth control and contraception is a grave sin. But the world does not understand this because the world makes it all about pleasure. And if everybody treated these actions the way that God intended them, we would have much holier marriages and much holier families. And it would be what the actual numbers are for the people who follow the church teaching on this topic and on other things related to it, where the divorce rate is 50% in normal marriages in America, but for the couples that follow church teaching on contraception and on marriage in general, the divorce rate is less than 2%. Because that's what happens when we follow God's law and when we obey. Christ here shows us that it's going to be challenging, but rewarding to obey God's law. And then the devil takes him to the top of the temple, and he tells him, jump off of here so that the angels can catch you. And the point was so that all of the people see how great he is, and they see the angels carrying him off the temple. This temptation is about vanity. It's about caring what others think of us more than what God thinks about us. He is God. He doesn't need to do that. He doesn't need to show off his power. He knows who he is, and he was going to use his power to help people, not to show off. And so this temptation and the response of Christ really teaches us that in our lives, no matter what temptation it is that we struggle with, whether it's our bad thoughts, our words that we say, or the actions that we do, we should think about what God wants of us. Now, a lot of times when we sin and when we fall into the temptation of the devil, we only think about others. For example, a lot of people come to me and they'll say, I lie a lot because I don't want to cause problems. I want there to be peace. And I'll always respond, are you more scared of making problems between human beings or between making problems between yourself and God? Don't be scared about human beings. Be more scared, have some fear of God's law and that God knows the truth. And if you lie, you're going against God himself, who is the truth itself. Not only about lying, but about every other temptation that we go through. We should think first, what is God going to think of me? Not about others. Then the devil shows him the whole world. And he says, I'll give you the whole world if you will fall down and worship me. And this is exactly what we do when we sin. It's exactly what the devil made Adam and Eve fall into, is the worship of ourselves. We make ourselves God. And in that, we basically worship the devil instead of worshiping God. That's what happens when we sin knowing that it's wrong. And that's why Jesus, when he enters into the desert, he knows that we're going to go through each of these three things. Probably every day we're going to face these temptations. But Christ shows us how to properly prepare for these. Before he was tempted, he fasted for 40 days and 40 nights. He went through intense endurance to show us how we will prepare ourselves. And that's what the point of Lent is. This is actually something we should always be be focused on and always think about. But the church sets apart these days of Lent, of Soma, for us to refocus, to have like a retreat of ourselves where we leave the world as much as possible. We go into the desert with Christ. And so we give up things that distract us. Not only things like food. We can give up things like social media, watching TV, listening to too much music. So we should think about things not only for food, but it's good to give up food, obviously, because we want to show God that we're going to challenge ourselves. We're going to give up something that we enjoy, even though it's not necessarily sinful, for a greater purpose, so that we can be strengthened in our lives and show our love for Him. So use these beginning days of Lent to really think about how to challenge yourselves, not to only give up things, but to add things to your lives, like daily prayer, going to Eucharistic adoration, praying the rosary every day, reading the Bible every day. Think of a way to challenge yourselves in this time where we are all together fighting a spiritual battle for the salvation of our souls and for the salvation of the world, so that following the example of Christ, we can be faithful to Him and we can be strengthened to fight all temptations to sin. Amen.